Everybody desires to live in freedom, but how can that happen when you're in the midst of a battle? Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, learn how to change your circumstances with God's Word and live in His freedom and victory every day. Now, here's Kenneth.
Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ, the Anointed One, Jesus Himself and His anointing has made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And you stand fast in the liberty. What liberty? Your deliverance from the authority of darkness. You ain't coming here on me. No. You're not taking my country away from me. And you're certainly not going to take my children away from me. There ain't that many devils. And I'll tell you why I say that. I don't say that just smarting off. I learned a whole lot better than that a long time ago. I don't say anything that I haven't already heard Jesus say. Gloria and I, years ago, went up to our little prayer cabin over there in Arkansas, where you see us do a series, a daily broadcast, a couple of weeks over there every year. We went over there and we got everything we could find on children. We got every scripture. We looked up every concordance, anything that even act like it said children. And we took it over there, and she and I together, we just piled up in the middle of the bed, and we looked and we prayed and we underlined and we dug through concordances and we looked up the children this and the children that, and great shall be the peace of your children. And we wrote all of those scriptures down. And at the end of that weekend, we took all of those scriptures, each one of them, word for word, and developed a petition out of those scriptures. And we set that petition before the throne of grace. And we said, your word says that we know when we pray and ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. And if you hear us, we have the petition that we have set before you. And here they are. Here's our children. And they're not going to hell. They'll serve God. They were just little bitty things. They will serve God. And they're serving God today. But now let me show you something. Out of seek first the kingdom of God. When our oldest grandson was born, when Terry and George found out that Jeremy was in there, they didn't wait till he's born and didn't let him get 12 or 13 years old before they said anything to him about the Word of God. After he's already half full of the devil. No, that's not seeking first the kingdom of God. That's seeking first Dr. Spock or some other. Gracious. No, every day. George, Pastor George, stand up, George, you and Terry. I'm going to talk about you. Let people see how pretty you are tonight. Now, this has been true. This has been true all the way through now with all of them. George would lay his hands on Terry and speak to Jeremy. Tell him he's the seed of Abraham. That's the one I remember the most. He told that boy every day, he's the seed of Abraham. You're the seed of Abraham. And then read scripture to him and play music to him. You know, all this. That boy was preaching before he was ever born. And he's been preaching ever since he's three. Never ever tried to do anything else. Never ever thought to ever be anything else. Never sought anything else. He just said, "Hi, Peter. You get me a three-piece suit and a watch pocket?" Go back in those days, I wore a vest and had a pocket watch with a chain, you know. "Give me a watch pocket, I peach." So Terry went down and got him a three-piece suit and got him a watch. And he had a little toy microphone, and it's been that way ever since. Strong in his own ministry today. Well, here's the thing. He knows more about believing God, preaching faith in the very beginning of his ministry. I mean, he knew more about that when he's 13, 14 years old than I did when I started at 30, 31, 32. All of them did. All of them did. Every one of them had been prayed over. Every one of them had been talked to. See, seeking first the kingdom of God, not some baby book. Seek first the kingdom of God and his word. Oh, that's the baby book. That Bible is a baby book, man. It'll teach you stuff about raising children. I had to relearn everything I ever knew about raising kids. I didn't know nothing about raising children. But God taught me. He helped me. May glory be strong in that area. No, we didn't leave them home for somebody could take them to public school while we're out preaching faith. No, we stood fast in the liberty wherewith we'd been made free. And I told the Lord, I said, "I'm taking my kids with me. Now, when it comes to their education, you're going to have to do something about it, because I'm rolling all the care over on you, and I ain't going to talk to you about it no more." That's just done. Well, the miracles that God did over those kids' schooling was just, you could write a small book about it. The way it all came to pass. Just marvelous things that God did. Why? Because we stood fast in the liberty wherewith we were made free. God said, "Don't borrow any money." I know how to do anything without borrowing money. I was $24,000 in bad debt in 1967 when we went to Oral Roberts University. Do you know what that is today? I had I talked to a man a few days ago. I said that in his presence, and he whipped out a calculator, and he happened to know the inflation rates and so forth. He just figured it up right there. He said, "I'll tell you right now, it's $250,000. 1967, bad debt. God said, "You stay out of debt." In 11 months, he got us out of debt, and I don't know yet how he did it. But I had to stand fast in the liberty wherewith he'd made me free. I'm over here in the kingdom of God. I can't seek that other kingdom, try to get out of that debt. That's where I got in that debt, was in that other kingdom. I can't use their laws. I can't use their rules. I've got to know this one. I've been born again. I'm living in another nation. I need to know the language of this nation. I need to know the laws of this nation. See, look, if you came out, if you were born in a nation on the other side of the world somewhere, and you were raised to maybe young adulthood, you don't know anything but that nation. You don't know anything but their laws. And there are certain things you do there that get you into deep trouble. But then all of a sudden, a Christian couple come along that loved you and adopted you and took you out of that country and brought you to the United States. Now, there are things here that are absolutely free that you could do and just be wonderful in the eyes of everybody that got you killed over in that other country. But because of your fear that was built into you while you were over there, there are certain freedoms that you are not enjoying here because you're still afraid. Can you see what I'm talking about? You're still afraid of these things. I remember one night in Tulsa, Oklahoma, first time I was ever in a meeting with Bill Bozanski. that wild Ukrainian, praise God. And Bill and I, we did a lot of things together, became very, very, very close friends. But this is the first time I was ever in a meeting with him. He was so thrilled about the United States. I tell you what, he had come as a young boy, just barely got out of the Ukraine. The Germans are shooting at him, and then the Russians are shooting at him, and it's an epic saga of his family's deliverance. He's so American that when Bill went home to be with the Lord, one of the things one of the guys said, you know what? If Bill Bozanski got cut, he'd bleed red, white, and blue. And that's true about him. And we were in that Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship meeting that night. I was speaking, Bill was speaking, and oh, man, they had a long table set up there, you know. There's a head table, and everybody else is sitting out here like you are. And there was, I don't know, there's, you know, 300-400 people at least, maybe 500. A little small room, it was full. And up here's this table, and I'm sitting up there on one spot, and Bill's sitting down here. And they called on Bill. Man, I'm telling you, he got to preaching on the power of God that has set us free. And it hit him. He jumped up on top of that table and he began to run from one end of it to the other. He said, do you understand that we are standing here tonight praising God and there ain't nobody arresting us? Stand fast in the liberty. When that first round of Asian flu broke out, oh man, I'm telling you, it got into one of the meetings when it first came out. Got into one of the meetings I was preaching. I was preaching for Hilton Sutton's dad down in Beaumont, Texas. And when I got down there, I mean, dad's church at that time, the little building seat, what, Hilton 350, 400, something like that. And he had a going church there. The time I got there, there was nobody there. There's all out sick with the flu. And he and I, we grabbed an oil bottle apiece and we hit the road, brother. We going from one house to the other, dumping oil on them and raising them up in the name of Jesus. It was quite a time. And it was at that time that I called our children in, and Gloria and I called them in, and John's just a little fella, and Kelly's 2 years older than him, I called him in, I said, we're going to take our flu shot. John's eyes got about that big, man. He didn't want some kind of shot. So I said, come on, sit down here around the table there in front of the fireplace. I said, get on around here. They gathered up, I said, get your Bible, bring your Bible in here. So they brought their Bibles in. We opened it up to the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And we turned over there to the 61st verse where it says, all sickness and all diseases not even written in this book of the law are under the curse. Yes. Amen. Well, that includes flu. And then we went over to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So we've been redeemed from all sickness and all disease. So we went back and forth. I'd read it, then Gloria read it, then Kelly read it, and John did the best he could. And we go back and forth, back and forth. Boy, you are redeemed from the curse of flu. Yes, sir, I'm redeemed from the curse of flu. Girl, you're redeemed from the curse of flu. Yes, sir, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, and flu is under the curse of the law, and I'm redeemed from the curse. What are we doing? We're standing fast. We're building a rock upon which to stand in this kingdom. It belongs to us. This is ours. Now, once we did it, we did that over and over and over again, over and over and over again. We went over it again. We went over it again. By his stripes, you were healed. Then we'd go back and finally, I said, okay, we gonna have the flu? No, sir.
Why? We redeemed from the curse of the flu.
And I mean, and I knew we were there.
So now what did we do? Now we had bedrock. We had scripture that we're standing on. And now we can let the word fight its own fight. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and things come to pass. You are condemned by the words of your mouth. You are made righteous by the words of your mouth. Isn't that right? Isn't that what Jesus said? So it's not what somebody else says about you. It's what you say. You can't blame it on anybody else. No, it's you. When you learn that and your mind gets renewed to that and you quit trying to blame it all on somebody else, blame it on the white guy, blame it on the brown guy, blame it on the black guy, blame it on the Baptist, blame it on the Democrat, blame it on the Republican. We gotta blame somebody. Well, go look in the mirror.
Come on.
It ain't the devil's fault either. You didn't have to yield to him. But you're gonna have to let the word fight the fight. You can't fight it. You fight the good fight of faith, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and faith is empowered by love. Amen. And that's then, after that, I would say, as people were, oh man, oh God, we'll have to get the flu. Oh Lord, oh, we don't want to go to church. We don't want to go to church. I don't even want to send the kids to school. Oh, they're going to get the flu. Do you know people died with that flu? Well, Satan would kill you with hangnail if he could. He'd kill you any way he can. Particularly if you license it. That's when I would take the opportunity to say, now I want you to hear me, because this is what I was preaching in the church there. We were there 21 days in Dad Sutton's church. But I'd take this opportunity to say it. I'd say, now I want you to hear me say it. I will not have the flu. Mm-hmm. Oh, Brother Copeland. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wouldn't say that. For don't you know the devil will hear you? See how much confidence there was in darkness? See how much confidence there was in the flu? Mm-hmm. Afraid of the flu is faith in the flu.
Right.
I said, no, I won't have it. And then one person said, well, I'd like to know why not. I said, because I've had my flu shot. Oh, well, yeah, I thought you probably got a shot. I said, yeah, it's the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, 61st verse. The whole family got shot with that. Oh, really? Well, let's see, Brother Sutton, what year was it that I came to your place? That first time, that was in 1969, 70? Right in that neighborhood. We hadn't had the flu yet. Now, can you see what I'm talking about? Now, we had to fight the good fight of faith. We had to stand fast in this kingdom. Boy, there's times we had to get around and get it together again because all those symptoms latch onto your body and you say, no, you don't. I'm not supposed to be having this. I'm supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to be well. I'm supposed to be prosperous. I'm not getting in the debt. I don't have to be in debt. But the kingdom of God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory. Thy kingdom come in my life and in my family on earth as it is in heaven. Can you see it? Don't just sit there and nod at me. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Stand fast. Stand fast. You're going to hear a lot of information between now and the elections in 2012. And most of it, I don't want to tell you really what it is. Whoa, my. And there's going to be people reaching out for you to do what? See, there is a political platform laid down by each of the political parties. And here is a man or a woman standing on that platform saying to you, come stand with me on this platform
Because what you vote into office is not a man or a woman. You vote that platform into office. And all the skunks are living under the porch. So you're going to have to sit there and say, now, wait a minute. I stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has made me free. Lord, I'm inquiring of you. You show me who's real and who isn't. You show me how to vote. Well, you don't want to vote for them, though, Brother Copeland, because they can't win and you just wasted your vote. Huh?
Come on.
You mean to tell me God tells me to vote for so-and-so and you're going to come tell me they can't win? I really don't care. Once he's told me for whom to vote, I don't care whether they win or not. I'm under assignment here. I'm God's to command. That's the one I'm going to vote for.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you this. Even if they don't win, my obedient vote is my seed over the next 4 years. I will live separate from that kingdom of darkness. I don't care what the economy does everywhere else. It'll be good at our house. Hallelujah. Why? I'm not tied to that system. I'm tied to this kingdom. And I seek this kingdom. And God said, vote that way. That's the way I'm going. Amen. Now, when a whole bunch of us finally wakes up and gets that way, we're the biggest voting block in this nation. We can vote Holy Ghost and put anybody in there that God says to. If we had listened to him on the last elections, all three areas of election, executive branch, legislative, both houses, if we had listened to him, he presented to us the people he intended to put in there, he would have taken us around all of this mess we've been in without us having to suffer our way through that and made the corrections we needed to be made. But because of our stiff-neckedness and voting every way but the way God said and just slough off the ones that he presented to us and chose us a whole new bunch of people, and how's that working out for you? And I'm going to tell you something. It's not because they're bad people. It's because they don't belong in the office they're in. God had a pick, and those were the ones that belonged in there. King Saul did not belong in that office. You understand where I'm coming from? Stand fast.
No matter what is going on in the world, recession, devastation, family trouble, disease, believers have a tool at their side that can change everything. Prayer. God always answers prayer, and he desires that we be people whose prayers get results. How to Get Your Prayers Answered 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan, the latest Lifeline kit from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, is an easy-to-use collection designed to help you learn how to pray with confidence and stop all doubt. It has Kenneth Copeland Ministries' most comprehensive book on the subject of prayer and is filled with practical steps, scriptures to stand on, and thought-provoking devotional questions. This Lifeline kit also contains a CD of prayers that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland prayed just for you, faith and action cards to carry with you or share with others, worship songs to keep your heart and mind focused, and a bonus teaching DVD of strong word-based messages. Your life will change when you know the keys. Renew your mind and discover how to get your prayers answered today. Order the newest volume in our best-selling Lifeline series, How to Get Your Prayers Answered by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for just $19.99. Whether you're new to prayer or want to power up your quiet time, this will move you from the basics to being a world-changing prayer warrior. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your Lifeline kit online. For more ministry resources available to you from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to kcm.org.
You know, there is nothing in this life that is not subject to change. And the power to bring change into any circumstance or to gain victory in any situation or battle is in God's Word. And you must make it a priority of your life to teach His Word to your children and to your family. And I believe that even my life, I believe that I am a testimony of what happens when you will take time to teach the Word of God and place value on God's Word when your kids are young, when your children are small. As a young boy, my parents and grandparents taught me how to stand fast and hold on to God's Word. And because of that, now I know how to live in the freedom that God's Word provides. And even greater than that, my wife, Sarah, and I are now teaching our son, Justice, those same principles of the Word of God. He's a little guy, but we're constantly talking to him about how much he's loved by our Father. Now, you take that same freedom and you begin to share it with those who are around you. They need to know how to stand on God's Word and to believe God for their freedom that is in Christ Jesus. And today I want to tell you about this very special product called How to Get Your Prayers Answered. It's a lifeline kit, a 10-day spiritual action plan by my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, that goes right along with what you're hearing in this broadcast and what we're talking about now. When you know how to pray, when you know how to talk to God, that's when things begin to change. And it is possible to pray a prayer that doesn't even get heard. It's possible to pray a prayer that doesn't get answered. Don't waste your time praying like that. No matter what is going on around you, yes, there may be wind and waves, but when you have God's Word in your heart coming out of your mouth, now you're praying a prayer that gets results. Today's product, this will change your life. It'll change the life of your family and your children around you. Teach your children how to pray and talk to God, how to study their Bible. This product is very important and very effective, and it will work when you put it to work. Praise God. Order yours today. I want to tell you about a meeting that's coming up with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It'll be in Branson, Missouri for the Branson Victory Campaign, March 8th through the 10th at Faith Life Church in Branson. The outstanding meeting. You want to make sure you're a part of this. They'll teach you the Word, how to get answers to your situations and your questions. For more information on this meeting and others, go to kcm.org. Next Sunday is Christmas, so be sure to join us here on the Believer's Voice of Victory. My grandparents have a very special message for you. You don't want to miss it. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The Branson Victory Campaign, March 8th through the 10th, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, Anaheim, California, with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Dates to be announced. Celebrate 30 years in Europe at the Europe Victory Campaign, May 10th through 12th, with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Excel Center in London, UK.